The Constitution stipulates that one key role for the federal government is to provide for the common defense. We should be able to live in safety here in America. But recently, there's been a breakdown in safety and civility. Even on many college campuses, Jewish students have been attacked ever since the merciless attack of Israel by Hamas on October 7th. Whoever serves as the president of the United States has a great deal of influence on how safe conditions are in America and abroad. Robert Spencer is a New York Times bestseller on many books, including books about Islam, but he's also written a book on our nation's commanders-in-chief. And he joins us now to discuss rating the presidents, especially when it comes to American defense. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Robert, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry. When it comes to rating the presidents and Joe Biden, we have to remember that Joe Biden doesn't really care about Americans, and he doesn't care about the safety and well-being of the citizens of his own country. That might seem tremendously harsh, but the fact is that it's very clear his priorities are and have been taking care of Ukraine and fulfilling the agenda of the people who elected him, that is the far left social agenda, and so on. And that involves defunding the police, discrediting the police, and defaming the police. And that means all of us become less safe, because, you know, sure, there's no doubt that there are police who commit various kinds of abuses, but this doesn't justify throwing out the whole system and leaving Americans unsafe. But he's more interested in pleasing his far-left constituents than he is in that.
But that leaves a lot of people unsafe, including people here in America. How well do you think Trump did when it comes to the defense?
Well, Trump was, of course, up against people who wanted to destroy his presidency even before it started. And so they were responsible for the Antifa Black Lives Matter riots that we saw all through the summer of 2020 that frightened a lot of people and made them think that if we reelect this man, there will be more of this kind of instability. And if we elect Joe Biden, then there will be a return to normal. And that was a deliberate strategy that was adopted by the opponents of Trump to get him out of office. And I'm sure that it was one of the things that helped, but certainly not the only thing that made it appear as if Joe Biden had won the election. In any case, the Trump administration had a far greater record when it came to trying to safeguard the well-being of Americans. After all, it was an America First administration. Whereas the Biden administration, you could very justifiably call an America Last administration.
What are your thoughts on President Obama?
President Obama is president now, essentially. Remember that he had an interview with Stephen Colbert not long after he left office. I'm not sure when exactly it was, but in any case, he said that he wished that he could have a third term and that it would be a sub rosa third term, a beneath the surface third term that would work by him being able to be in his basement in his sweatpants and talking through an earpiece with the ostensible president and telling him what to do. Now, this, of course, was taken at the time as just a bit of whimsy and good old Obama, he's joking and so on. But when you look at Joe Biden's obvious and manifest and repeatedly demonstrated intellectual incapacity, it does lend credence to the possibility that other people are pulling his strings, which he himself has acknowledged on several occasions, saying, if I take questions now, I'm going to get in trouble, or I've been told that I cannot take questions and so on. That's all indicating that somebody's telling him what to do. And there are many people who think that is Obama. So whatever the case may be about that, it's certain that Obama, if he were asked, would not have anything negative to say about this administration. It's just carrying through the policies that he began.
There are reports that have said Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice, both of whom were very prominent in the Obama administration, are, you know, tied directly into the Biden administration. So there's credibility to all this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The thing about Obama is that people wondered if he was being run as well. And so that's actually one of the arguments against the idea that he's running everything now, that he wasn't running things when he was in charge. But it's the same team that's in place. And so conceivably, it could be all of these things at once, that it's Valerie Jarrett and others who are running things in the United States today, and they are presented through Obama to deal with Biden.
What are your thoughts on George W. Bush when it comes to American defense?
I think George W. Bush was a tremendous disappointment, and that he set us on a bad path to begin with when he was president, just 6 days after 9/11, when he said that Islam is peace, speaking in the mosque in Washington, D.C., and standing in front of Abdurrahman al-Amudi, who is now in prison for funding al-Qaeda, and Nihad Awad of the Hamas-linked Council on American-Islamic Relations. These are not people that the president of the United States should have been standing with. And then he's talking about Muslims as victims, even then, 6 days after 9/11, and saying that we have to be careful not to blame Muslim women wearing hijab and attack them. Well, you know, Americans, by and large, are decent people. And the FBI statistics, as we have discussed, they do not bear out the contention that Muslims are subjected to large-scale terror attacks or harassment in the United States or hate crimes in the United States. And so it was absolutely inappropriate for George W. Bush to scold the American people about having to treat women wearing hijab nicely just while the ruins are still smoking at ground zero. And he ended up hamstringing and deforming our response to the 9/11 terror attacks by stigmatizing the idea that we could investigate the motivating ideology behind them, because that has everything to do with Islam. But Bush put that out of bounds and made it essentially open the door to the idea that it was it would be Islamophobic to discuss what motivated the terrorists on that day and beyond.
Well, yeah. When you think about it, like the war on terror, as opposed to the war on radical Islam, you know, where they basically want to, you know, apply jihad and force Sharia and kill a bunch of people in the process, if that's what it takes.
Terror was a tactic. It is a tactic. There are military groups and individuals who have employed terror throughout history. It's kind of silly to have a war on terror. It's like having a war on bombs or a war on, hostage taking or something. It's just a war on a tactic, not a war on an enemy. But there was and is an enemy that's never been acknowledged in Washington and is still fighting against us. And
wow.
So it doesn't speak well of George W. Bush that he made it more difficult and ultimately impossible to speak about who that enemy is and what they're all about and what we can do about it in any rational and coherent way.
Bill Clinton, your thoughts on Bill Clinton and our American defense.
Bill Clinton was coming into the presidency in the wake of the fall of the Soviet Union, and there was an idea afoot in the United States at that time that we could just let the good times roll forever, and the money would never run out, and the strength would never subside, and we were going to be rich, prosperous, healthy, and happy forever. And so Clinton made a lot of disastrous decisions that were short-sighted, that ultimately have created the world situation that we face today. One is the rise of al-Qaeda. There was the bombing of the USS Cole. There was the bombing of the Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia. And there were other indications of the rising strength and influence of al-Qaeda in the Islamic world, and Bill Clinton didn't do a thing. And later it came out that they even had Osama bin Laden in their sights at one point, but Bill Clinton, as commander-in-chief, would not give them permission to take him out. And so that's one thing where his frivolousness and the whole frivolousness of the era bore bitter fruit. Another is the trade agreements with China that flooded the U.S. with the made-in-China goods and made us dependent on so much of what comes from China while decimating America's native industries. And so this empowered China and weakened the United States all at once. And of course, that's another story that is still playing out and could ultimately have catastrophic consequences for the United States. So Bill Clinton was sort of a lucky man. He got through the presidency without major incidents taking place while he was president. And yet he sowed the seeds for a great deal of the disaster that was and is to come.
Amazing. George H.W. Bush, the father of George W. Bush.
George H.W. Bush was the man who ruined the Reagan legacy. Reagan was the last America First president before Donald Trump, and he had this extraordinary achievement that he is not given credit for to this day, and that is the defeat of the Soviet Union in the Cold War, which he brought about by ramping up the arms race and taking it beyond where the Soviet economy could keep up. The fruits of this only came during the Bush administration with the actual dissolution of the Soviet Union in late 1991. But that was not Bush's doing at all. And probably if Bush had been president during the 80s, and remember, he did run in 1980, it never would have happened because Bush was an establishment Republican, much like John McCain and Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and all the people that we have seen plaguing us over the last few years, Mitch McConnell and so on. They let the Democrats set the agenda, and then they say, me too, or we can do it a little more efficiently, but nobody ever says we're not going to do it. And so he was completely of the earlier establishment thinking. Of course, he was CIA chief and so on, about detente, about an accord with the Soviet Union that would involve making various concessions to it in order to allow it to continue, rather than to confront and try to defeat it. And that was, of course, the policy of the Carter and Ford and Nixon administrations. And so George H.W. Bush was sort of a return to the old thinking that had already been discredited. And this is one reason why he was a one-term president. Of course, the main reason why he was a one-term president is that he reneged on his pledge not to raise taxes. But even that was just part of his bland assumption that the American people would go along with him breaking his word, that the Republican Party would go along with his breaking his word, because Americans had grown so accustomed to politicians breaking their word, and particularly to Republicans running to the right and then governing to the left. This is something that Nixon did, that Ford did.
We're basically out of time.
Eisenhower did.
We're out of time. But it's so true that the American defense is such a key part to the whole presidency. Your book is called Raiding America's Presidents. Can people get it at jihadwatch.org?
Well, there are links to Amazon there. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever there are good books sold.
Raiding America's Presidents, Robert Spencer. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.